Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming up on November 3rd, we have a special broadcast event. That is the Money Bomb Marathon broadcast. Alex is doing a 24-hour, well, actually it's a 27-hour broadcast. He's going to have all manner of special guests, and we, in the past, have prepared a lot of special programming as well. I think it's very interesting. It is a fundraising event. That's because we don't have corporate sponsors, and we depend on you buying the books, DVDs, buying from our sponsors, and contributing to us directly in order to move to the next level. Now, you've seen this program right here, the InfoWars Nightly News, in its inaugural year, only a few months out since the September 1 official launch. It's taken several years to physically build the studio from the ground up. We have video we're going to show you here in a moment of Alex's call for the Money Bomb. And I'm not sure if it's in this video or the videos that are coming out later in the week, but we have footage of physically building up this room from nothing, building the studio, putting in the soundproofing, the wiring, the glass paneling that has to go in, not to mention all the equipment, and of course hiring great new people to the crew who've contributed special reports. You've seen people like Darren McBreen going out in the street and compiling other types of special reports. We have great guys working behind the scenes, new graphics guys, and we want to add even more to this mission to break through all the nonsense in the mainstream and really try to get the message out before it's too late so we can turn this thing around. So I really appeal to you to help us out if you are a supporter, and if you're a hater, who needs you? Now let's check out this promo video right here.
Our mission at InfoWars.com is to audit the Fed, abolish the Fed, restore the Constitution, abolish the TSA, restore the Second Amendment, restore the Constitution, restore the Republic. And if you believe in those goals, then it is your free will, responsibility, and honor to spread the word about our operation and to donate to the 2011 Money Bomb. For many years, I tried to basically stay small, make my films, do my radio show, but it grew and grew and grew. Think about how a money bomb that listeners started 4 years ago led to us being able to move into this bigger office. A later money bomb helped us expand into the empty warehouse next door. And in the last year, we have built the TV studios and put the equipment in and are now doing a nightly news show every night at 7 o'clock that we're now beta testing and getting ready for television. Right now, going out to members at PrisonPlanet.tv and then reaching millions as it spills out onto YouTube and other systems. Help us go to the next level. Not reaching 15 million a week, but reaching 30, 40, 50 million a week. Our growth curve is exponential, but we need to hit our afterburners and turbocharge. History is happening now. The war for human liberty against total dehumanization is on now. Join us Thursday, November 3rd at InfoWars.com. We're going to have a 24-hour plus live transmission with guests and interviews starting at 11 a.m. and running into my next radio show the next day. We're going to have a huge lineup of liberty-loving patriots from all over the world joining us. It's going to be amazing. And this money bomb is going to have a lot of new things added to it that's going to make it even more powerful than past years. So please donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or InfoWars.com/MoneyBomb or simply spread the word about the money bomb. Stand with InfoWars.com and my incredible crew and all of our other supporters and help us get the word out even more. The ball is in your court. The rest is up to you. It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2011, November 3rd. It kicks off 11 a.m. Visit the website at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, InfoWars.com/MoneyBomb.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It is Friday, the 28th day of October 2011. And since All Hallows Eve is coming up in a few days, I thought I'd show you some real horror today for those of you out there that think it's cute. Those of you out there that think it's funny. And of course, if you're a new radio listener, you're saying you're going to show us? Yes, we also simulcast this entire three-hour radio transmission in the multicast five-camera shoot in here. And we premiere videos that, of course, also have audio suitable for radio here. And then I do a nightly news show at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, at InfoWarsNews.com. I'm going to be honest with you here right now. I am in a controlled rage. I am in a controlled rage. And I do not feel like right now I can do justice to the information that has me in the controlled rage. From time to time, I get here on air and I tell you, coming up in an hour, I'm going to present this big breaking news. And I do that on purpose to point out that this is a big deal. And that we need to really pay attention to this particular piece of information mixed in with all this other incredibly important information. From my historical perspective, I believe certain issues we cover are obviously more important than others. You can analyze it yourself and decide if you agree with me or if you want to add something to it or if you disagree. But I saw something last night, yesterday, and then again last night, that particularly touched my soul. And they say that the attempt to avoid conflict, the attempt to avoid hard decisions, is really at the heart of civilizations collapsing. I forget who it was that said that insanity, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking you're going to get a different result. But humans have a limited lifespan, and so that's why we have this processes. That's why we do it over and over again. If we're not studying history and learning from others' mistakes and learning about how humans operate, the global controllers, they do study how humans operate, every facet of it, chemically, biologically, spiritually, intellectually, financially. They study that and don't try to then teach that to the general public. They try to say any analysis is a conspiracy theory when that's all they do. And I was thinking last night just about where America stands in history and where America is going. If you look at all the different signposts we've passed and the clear quickening that's happening, I do not feel like I am a good enough champion for these children. That is the main reason I tend to sometimes get on air and say, I'm not going to cover this big news yet. Sure, it has the added effect, and I've intellectualized the fact that if I say it's coming up later, sure, that's classic radio to plant the psychological hook to get you to listen longer. And I've had radio execs say, oh, it's really good how you do that. And, you know, that's 101, but that's not really why I'm doing it. So many days I get up here and don't hit the big top stories for an hour or two because I've analyzed them, I've looked at them, and there's so many facets to it that I want to properly, truly present you with veritas. And if I don't summon all of my mental will and discipline, because I'm undisciplined, I will not even present you 10% of what I should. But I am going to pray to God right now. I'm asking God right now in my heart to help me articulate the full magnitude that we face and to be able to articulate it to people in a way that will touch their heart, touch their mind, and have them stop rationalizing and making excuses and really break out of the trance and see what we are, what we've done. I've seen a lot of footage of dead and dying children. And I'm the type of person that if I close my door on a little one-inch gecko and it crushes them, I get very sad. Not because I'm a wimp, but because I love life. And I love small, little, delicate things. And the globalists would say I'm weak because of that. But no, it's because I'm strong that I love life. And I do have the will. I do have the will to take on evil. And I assure you to do things that those that seek after darkness wish they could do. But I tell you now, I believe and I know in my heart that if every American could be made to sit down and watch the video that I saw yesterday of a 3-year-old toddler with their entire lower jaw and mandible blown off and the neck ripped open with their tongue hanging out in a Colombian necktie with that pulpy, bloody hole slothing open with its crying anguish and absolute soul-wrenching panic and pain, with the little sister going into shock with her leg blown off right next to him. If I could make every one of these people watch that who are in a trance, who have been incrementally pushed into deeper and deeper levels of deception and spiritual blindness, we could begin to turn the corner. But that's why this entire structure, is about wrapping the world in false reality, inserting people into a matrix with the jumbotrons and the advertisements and the glamour, the glitz, all of it is psychological warfare, 100% aimed at the species. This is species death. And what the architects of the New World Order have built is societal suicide. And I have seen many, many photos and many, many videos of dead children. And I've seen them once they're bandaged up with their arms and legs blown off in those facilities with their sad little eyes. But to watch that child with its little lip, its upper lip, its little teeth, and those eyes look just like my 3-year-old daughter. And that whole lower jaw and throat torn away. And the little child has its hands out like this. Why? It's just a horrible howl out of that hole. Why? Why? And I talk to the military when their eyes glint and talk about turning places into parking lots and how great drones are and how they'll kill 200 people to get one combatant and how it's worth it and how that's what the good guys do. And they actually think they're the good guys. Man, that is deception. This whole thing, we're told, is a humanitarian operation. There's a law in the universe, and the dark magicians that control our planet know this. What comes around goes around. You reap what you sow. Karma. And I had an epiphany that that little child, probably dead, because there's no medical attention in Sirte, where Gaddafi was, that little child, with their whole bottom of their face blown off, I don't even have words to describe it. That little child, who's probably dead, now a merciful fate, is the lucky one. Because you reap what you sow. Our children, by the millions now, die over a year or two because their bodies are strong, while the chemotherapy and the radiation tortures them month after month. And as the globalist carry out a slow kill, like a psychopath starving a child to death in a cage, that's one of their favorite things to do. And everything we do to those people, and how we rationalize and make excuses, the universe still will exact justice. Justice is being exacted on us. And our country, I can feel it, the full hedge of protection is being removed. America is going to be judged 1,000 times Libya.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
But now we've been harnessed to serve the New World Order and carry out atrocities.
Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan, boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn.
Again,
we came from the
I want to address this video and audio. In a way, it's a kindness to the radio audience. You'll only hear the jawless, throatless screaming of the child. And I had not even nightmares about it. I just kept waking up thinking about it all night. Because when I got home, I made myself go and seek out children all over the world with their legs blown off by landmines, sometimes from wars 50 years before. Children hit by smart bombs. And I began to find horrors even equaling what you are about to see. If you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, I do suggest that you turn away if you don't want to see something that will affect you for the rest of your life. Because this isn't some zombie movie with a zombie missing its lower mandible. This is a sweet little three-year-old. I can't tell if it's a boy or girl. has the same little sweet eyes as my three-year-old daughter. And all of you that talk about turn it into a parking lot, they can point at any country, Somalia, Sudan, Pakistan, Afghanistan. I mean, I could have a dartboard up here of any country and just throw a dart at it, and it hits, and the government says that's where the bad people are, and Americans get up and salute and say, parking lot! I mean, do you know what a parking lot is? I mean, I would respect you more if you went over like Joseph Mengele put in his own diary. I don't like Joseph Mengele, a very evil person, the angel of death, the Nazi experimenter. But he would kill the children right up close. And one morning, his driver, he loaded up six little kids in this big Mercedes limousine and drove them about a mile out in the woods outside the base. And he all gave them chocolate bars for whatever reason and watched them eat it and then sat there and shot them each in the head. And, of course, he did worse things than that, boiling them alive, freezing people, tearing them apart, cutting their eyes out, open waking brain surgery. But see, he's Joseph Mengele. He's a bad man. Because he did it right up close. But see, if you fund a bunch of Al-Qaeda rebels and put them in charge and have them just go street to street blowing up every building, 40 to 50,000 innocent civilians dead. They couldn't show one dead Al-Qaeda rebel fighter previous to the war getting launched 6 months ago. But Gaddafi, he looks like a bad guy. You know, a guy in a jogging suit. Looks like a clown to me. Well, the real reason, see, this was done because Gaddafi was building up Africa. Gaddafi actually was building up his people. And he did have a secret police force and the rest of it. And they did arrest people and hold them. And they thought they were spies and beat them up. Not saying that's a good thing. But on a scale of 1 to 10, evil-wise, Gaddafi's about a 5. People running our country, about a 10. But it's so slick, though. You see, we're the good guys. Well, who are we? Oh, we're a country run by ruthless foreign banks that are destroying our future as well. So I'm going to come back and try to cover this issue because I believe this little child, and we don't know their name, I want to discover it, with their lower mandible blown off, is the key to unlocking hearts.
We're on the...
See the generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. In the fields, the bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Crank it up.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind.
Poisoning.
Brainwash my
heart. Oh, Lord, yeah. All right. Says it all. Sorcerers of death's construction. That's what all of this is about. And the incredible thing is, once you've bought into that we're the good guys, and you don't even know who we are, who runs this country, who runs this world, you don't even read the handbooks written by the globalists where they admit it's a cold-blooded global depopulation program. One day they tell you, we're doing all this to fight Al-Qaeda, and then Al-Qaeda's put in charge of Libya and now Egypt. and the betrayal of the Western-backed dictator Hosni Mubarak, who wasn't perfect, but compared to what they got now, was an angel. Gaddafi, who actually tried to build up Africa. You could say it was arrogance or that he actually cared. I know the Africans loved him. I know he was the only person that would try to build things in Africa that actually helped people. You know, in the 50s and 60s, Africa actually had cities and universities, and it's all been destroyed now. And I always hear this, well, that's because the colonials pulled out. No, that's because the colonials went in when they were getting kicked out and finance groups to engage in rebellion and destroy the place. You can get anybody to start killing each other. And yeah, Africans like war like any other group of humans. They got the same buttons everybody else has, and they sure got pushed. And now those buttons are going to get pushed here, economically, societally, to play us all off against each other and bring this nation and this world down into the hands of the globalist. Are you seeing what's happening? Google releases their transparency report, itself created by DARPA, on record. I would praise this because it's been leaked from Yahoo a few years ago. They won't release it, but their own employees leaked it. So I commend those folks. But Google released a transparency report, as you know, 3 days ago. Paul Watson was the first to get articles out and dig through it. Now others have. And it turns out police, quote, order YouTube to take down videos because it, quote, shows them in a bad light. They're very honest with Google in the filings. You can go read them. The federal government tells them to take down videos because they're critical of the government. When they order YouTube to do this, Google's parent company, through Google, YouTube, YouTube complies with it. So I guess the Federal Reserve, when it called up 2 weeks ago and said, take this video down of Alex Jones at the San Antonio Fed, it's still before their review board. I don't know. They say if you force a review and they rule against it, you can lose the channel one strike, usually get three. We're talking about something that's reached 150 million people, that one channel, that's going to reach even more in the next year. It's growing exponentially. Now, that's a major TV channel in any city that's had that many views. I mean, go look at it. We've had hacks of the site, every form of chicanery you can imagine. And now they've introduced the legislation, which is mirrors the global treaty. Remember the secret copyright treaty earlier this year that came out that Obama wants, where no judge, no jury? If a corporation says you've infringed in word, in video, in anything, your site is taken. Not just deleted, they can take it and sell it. Asset forfeiture seizure. No judge, no jury. Just like cops under admiralty pull over old ladies. It's in the news all the time. Why do you have $3,000? They ask a Depression era woman. She says, because I always carry a lot of cash when I'm traveling. Well, I'm taking it. People say, how do they do that? Well, it's presumed you're guilty because the cops have been told that's the law. It's not. It's totally unconstitutional. You know, everybody knows checkpoints are illegal. But now, all over the country. Sometimes I get in arguments with Ventura. You know, we're good friends now, but he something will shock him so much, and you can see him, not again, not more. And he's like, yeah, I'm not missing driving. I mean, I'm not missing flying. I'm enjoying driving my RV around. And Saladin heard my court case. She'll be the first to know when the judge rules if it goes forward. And I said, you know the TSA is setting up checkpoints on the highways. And he said, come on, Alex. You know, you're joking with me. That's totally unconstitutional. And I would have heard about it. And I said, well, it hadn't gotten a lot of news, but it's, you know, it's been in some newspapers. It's been on television. But they basically say it's a good thing. The TSA is now federalizing local police and setting up checkpoints where everybody's searched, and in some cases they're frisking people, and they're driving them through big X-ray machines with no shielding. And he's looking at me, and he goes, no, I don't believe it. No, 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 no. So I got my iPad, And we're sitting up there in a hotel suite. They're about to shoot an interview he's about to do with somebody. And he reads it. He watches the newscast. He goes, wow. And I said, well, you know, it's going to be phased in over a while. And he goes, no, I drive a lot, so I'm going to run into these. And he said, I'm just going to keep driving. And knowing him, he will. He said, "I, you know what? This is unconstitutional. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm just going to keep driving." And that shows you where this society is going. And about an hour later, we're eating dinner, and he's just shaking his head going, you know, is there any hope, Alex? There's always hope if we can break the trance. There's always hope. You know, an hour later, hour and a half later, he was now really thinking about it. And he goes, I guess they are doing this. I mean, they're already putting us in microwave ovens, groping us, putting their hands in our pants. And it's that realization. It not only can happen here, it is happening here. We're going down the razor blade into the sea of alcohol. We are slipping down into the abyss, and we have the most wicked, most macabre, most sadistic, most twisted elites, and I've studied history, that the world has ever had. We've got the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst of the most sickeningly vicious and bloodthirsty and wicked inventors of evil that the world has ever seen, the most duplicitous, hundreds of layers of deception and twisting, just absolute, abject, total portal to hell running this world. Pure death, destruction for all the servants of evil. And they advertise they're going to kill at least 90%. And that's just to fool the 10% that think they're going to still be around. When you get into higher level writings of the elite, they discuss whether they should kill all humans. And they discuss there being two globalists left and them basically having a fight to the death with swords. I mean, whoa. Whoa. That's who runs things. And you think all these wars and all this torture and evil is for Al-Qaeda? I knew a decade ago, and then I got the documents 3 years ago and broke it nationally. I got a call from Ron Paul's office. I got a call from Chuck Baldwin's office because they were in it. And they're like, Alex, is this really real? And I'm, of course it's real that you're on a terrorist list. And they tell cops if you've got an American flag on your bumper, you know, that says, get us out of the UN, you're a terrorist. Of course it's real. Because the feds took a week to admit it was real. I said, look at that control code on the bottom. I called the FBI. They started threatening me, asking me how I got it. And I said, I got it from people inside. That was with the federal master document. And, of course, it was the MIAC that state police sent me. And when you get these documents, they're not talking about Al-Qaeda, ladies and gentlemen. They're talking about people that can skin a buck and run a trot line. They're talking about people that love freedom. They're talking about people that aren't in the matrix. They are scared of veterans. The number one threat is a veteran. And here's these veterans empowering this whole evil structure because of the brainwashing cover story. And the minute you get out, you are their number one enemy if they can't recruit you to be a cop. And then they do the psychological testing, and they've got your record. They're not going to accept you if you showed concern when the helicopter blew up the car full of kids for no reason. I found out they do reports. You see that Apache helicopter shoot up the Reuters van with little kids in it, and then Army soldiers run over and get the kids, and you hear them on the radio, I got kids, and you hear the helicopter guys laughing. Ah, whatever, that's what you get coming to a battle. It's not a battle. They're out in the middle of the city. Reuters camera guys got their kids with them. But again, the point is the guys actually on the ground that have got to see the kids, you know, shot by the high-powered gun on the nose of that thing, they're actually down there with the people. But you've got the guys back, you know, 800 yards, 1,000 yards, And there, look at those guys. I mean, that's when you hear them start going, whatever. Because they hear the army on the ground, the army soldiers going, we got kids, you know, get me a medevac immediately. They're hurt bad. And they're running with them. And you hear the guys who are separated from it up there. And again, you know, the good thing is if they would have really gotten off on it, it would mean they've already lost their souls. No, they have to, well, it's what you get going to a battle zone to salve their soul. But see, if they don't repent, they will be brought into deeper levels of darkness. You have got, listen, this whole modern warfare system, they admit the Pentagon developed video games for instinctive shooting so you dehumanize targets. All the violence on television is admittedly to desensitize you. That's why when the Marines threw the puppy a few years ago, they grab it, it's crying, they throw it off the cliff and laugh. And there's hundreds of these where they torture animals to death, you know, these videos. Michelle Malkin came out and said I was a liar and that it was a toy dog and that I basically worked for Al-Qaeda. And all these idiots said, look how its feet are up, that's a toy. You ever held a dog up by its scruff? That's how they want to be moved when they're puppies. That's how their mother carries them. They hold their feet up. It was clearly a fat little lab puppy mix. And they lied and lied and got so upset and said I was a liar for popularizing that video because our troops wouldn't do that. Really? Really? There aren't psychopaths in there that enjoy it? Because our troops wouldn't do that. They had to say I was the liar. And then the Marine Corps came out and said, no, he's being disciplined. It really happened. And the neocons still came out and said it was fake because it was psychological warfare. Because we've seen so many deaths of simulated deaths and real deaths of humans that it doesn't affect us anymore. We've seen more simulated deaths that our subconscious takes as real than a Dachau executioner in Nazi Germany or a Soviet commandant over an extermination camp. We have seen more simulated death than the most hardcore soldiers in history have seen. People think it's entertainment. I've been at violent films while people are being killed and tortured and people are laughing, eating popcorn. Of course, when that person gets in a car wreck and is all wound up in metal and their legs, you see their legs chopped off beneath them, it's not going to be funny then. Or let's say somebody mugs you and takes a steel pipe across your teeth and knocks your teeth out and then takes you in an alley and starts raping you. See, it's not going to be funny then, huh? Or let's say, God forbid, you're in a car wreck and the car rolls and you get out and your three-year-old's face is ripped off. Is it going to be popcorn time then, huh? You see, that's the real world. And that's what men get angry at and don't like because we want our people to be safe. We want decency and honor and purity and what's good. Not because we're perfect, but because we're reaching to be good. We know how fallen we are. And we know the minute we don't reach and try to be good and reach for the stars and reach for what's good, that our civilization is swept away into a road warrior scenario of pain and destruction, that our country is being used as the battle axe by this wicked system worldwide to bring devastation and destruction to innocents across the world. And that spiritual, psychic energy, that those chains and weights are being bound around our nation's name and our nation's souls. Nations have a spirit. And it's being bound to us unless we denounce it publicly and privately hit our knees and retch before God in repentance that we have not done more. That's why I don't want you calling up telling me what a good job I've done. I've done a horrible job. I should be in sackcloth living in a dirt hole when I'm not here, thinking about the innocents that are being destroyed. Not destroyed by the world eating big fat steaks with a pot belly. And even that attacks and destroys me. We should all learn to recognize that what comes around goes around. And it's not because we're wimps that we can't handle seeing the child with his face blown off. It's because we have souls and can see what it is. You think it's tough to think it's cute and to laugh about that. And the minute you do that, you literally open doors for every form of destruction to come against you and your family. And you're not safe even when you recognize it all and say no to it. Remember that. But you're a lot safer than you are when you embrace it. You people wonder why your lives are so cursed. You new listeners that serve corruption and think this is an entertaining, funny show. You wonder why your life is so horrible and why you feel so unfulfilled. Because you've been sucking at the breast of a devilish New World Order system. You've been drinking in spiritual poison that is literally eating out your soul. Now, when we come back, I'm going to play the video and the audio of just one of thousands of videos you can watch with children absolutely devastated. And YouTube, by the way, when you post these, bans them because it's obscene. Oh, no, it's killing the kid isn't obscene. Showing it is. We're back live. My earpiece came unplugged, so I didn't get on air on time. You know, I haven't done justice to the children having their arms and legs blown off, their lower mandibles blown off, and all the tough guys strutting around. When you talk about, you know, carpet bombing cities with men, women, and children, like Rush Limbaugh earlier this year, he was like, you know, our military is apologizing for civilians they kill. They shouldn't apologize. War's about killing civilians. And what an ignorant thought. That was not done, except by anybody like Attila the Hun, until World War II. You didn't target civilians. And then Hitler wouldn't bomb London. He was bombing military bases in England at the start of the Blitz. This is mainline history, but it's buried. Not saying Hitler's good. The point is, even Hitler wouldn't bomb cities. So the British launched a big air raid on Berlin and bombed it to manipulate Hitler into turning his attack on to London. Because in just a few weeks, he would have knocked out their factories that were outside the cities mostly and the airfields. Pure psychological warfare. And Hitler totally bought into it. And it also got the Brits even madder because their cities were being bombed. And that's mainline history. And then all of Germany was carpet bombed, all the cities. Dresden, in what one night, lost something like 400,000 people, most of them children, because it was a designated child city. There were cities in England that were designated and the Germans wouldn't bomb because you send your kids there. And they just wiped them out. And the firebombs they used just burned it all down. In fact, they had one big storm going, windstorm in Japan, made out of balsa wood and paper back then, a few months before Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where they had over 1,000 aircraft, bombers, bomb Japan. And they picked a day with high winds, and the fire burned the entire country basically down and killed, I forget the exact number, it's close to 1 million in one day. Anybody who watches History Channel, you can see that. And the good old boys are like, kill every Japanese. Really, because their corrupt imperial government was cut off from oil, and there were U.S. proxy troops attacking them in China. So you don't know history. I'm not saying the imperial Japanese were good. I don't like big imperial corrupt governments. The point is they ran a sneak attack because they realized the West was building up for war with them. And they got militarily defeated. But you notice the Japanese targeted military targets. See, your military fights that military. No. No, now it's manly as a draft dodger to sit around saying we should kill civilians. But then if anybody ever attacks our civilians, oh my gosh, the barbarism. Again, it's a disconnection from reality. And I'm going to get into some other news here. I'm going to write some notes up. I mean, I really want to do these little dead kids and tortured kids and maimed children justice. And I want to really speak to the hearts of people out there.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, when we start the next segment, I'll get to a clip of Obama talking about what a great recipe for success Libya is, this man of peace. The sickeningness of this and what modern warfare really is. It's an attack on humanity. It's a crime against humanity. And it's run by a global elite that have taught us to take great offense if somebody looks at us wrong, because we're Westerners, we're Americans, we're the good guys. But then if our tax money goes to fund this pure evil and our soldiers go and do all of this, and just indiscriminately slaughter in Iraq over a million people, and now in Libya, that it's honorable. No, it is total dishonor. And it is unmitigated curses you're bringing upon us. I've studied history. I've studied the world. I've studied the truths, the basic elements of life on this planet. And let me tell you something. It's not just spiritually. What comes around goes around. It's physically what comes around goes around. Obviously, if we've got a crazy government that'll go around and kill over a million innocent Iraqis and call it peace and lie about WMDs and put Al-Qaeda in Libya and slaughter 40, 50,000 people and just mow little kids and women down, some of them hacked up with machetes, and the UN's doing that in other countries, obviously, then, the sky is the limit. We're not safe. What did Ron Paul say in the debates a month ago or so when they were making fun of him for not wanting the government to be able to kill U.S. citizens without trial, without indictment, just, oh, because they're supposedly Al-Qaeda. That's setting a precedent. And remember, behind the scenes, it's all for veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. Ron Paul looked at the media, people asking questions. He said, you could be next. You're in danger. Don't you wonder? Ron Paul is a wise man. A wise man. What's a wise man? But, you know, what was common sense 100 years ago, 200 years ago in the Western world, or anywhere else for that matter? What were basic universal rules of chivalry and common sense? If you're going to have a war, it's between the men. Keep the women and children out of this. Because people have seen the horror of children targeted. But see, that's a tool of the New World Order. Surrender or we kill your kids. And there have been a few armies that have done that. Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, the Romans during their decline, the Israelites, the Aztecs. The Aztecs took you and your whole family prisoner for sacrifice. So we are really going back to the Stone Age here. And men think it's manly. I've seen people say, I don't care how many kids we kill. Yeah, yeah. I'll guarantee you, most of those effeminate men who think that it's tough and warlike to be into that, I'll guarantee you that if they were there and actually saw a child have their brains blown out, let's say a three-year-old, that it would screw them up for life and should. These are weak people. It's weak when you don't have empathy for others. It's weak when you don't study history and aren't informed. It's pathetic. You are psychic, spiritual, physical slaves, and the New World Order has taken its time diseasing America because we were enemies of the globalist. We were enemies of this system, and so it took us over to use us to take over the planet. Then we get the blame, and then we are completely destroyed. So the New World Order hates you a lot more than they hate those Libyan children. And remember why your life is about to get so much worse. Because we are to be judged. Justice is right.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, my friends, I'm going to do my best to really speak to the state of our country, the Western world, the greater planet, and the peoples that live upon it. I told you in the last hour, I saw a video yesterday, one of many I've seen over the years, in the hometown of Gaddafi from the bombardment, one of countless videos out there, with what looks like about a three-year-old child with the lower mandible or the lower jaw completely blown off, torn down to their neck with the little tongue hanging out, flopping around. And the horrible, bloody scream coming out of the hole in their throat. And my father worked at MD Anderson Cancer Research Institute in high school and in college some, part of an advanced student training program. And he said the most spooky thing he ever saw was the people who wore drapes over their faces that were there that just had the upper mandible. He said that's the spookiest thing he's ever seen in his life. And I see all these even older women. Saw like a 70-year-old lady. She looked like she's about 70 with a handbag the other day with skulls all over it. And a lot of times folks like skulls missing the lower mandible. I mean, you're going to be dead for trillions of years. Why do you, are you so quick to get in the grave? It's because they've been mind-washed in death and violence on television so much people can't differentiate the real thing from fiction. And that's been done scientifically. Edward Bernays, 80-plus years ago, wrote about this process of desensitization. So that when your neighbor's being drug off to a FEMA camp or they shoot some veteran at an Occupy Wall Street and he's in critical condition for no reason in the head with a rubber bullet at close range, knowing full well it would do that, you're like, ah, so what? So that when you're being torn limb from limb, when you're having your pension fund taken, when you're being abused, nobody's going to care about you either. The Romans were masters at that during their decline. They would have the big gladiatorial forum. It started out as secret rituals hundreds of years before when really powerful Romans died. They would have a few slaves fight to the death at the burial and then bury them with generally a military leader. It was a human sacrifice ritual. And then it turned into more wealthy people putting on private parties of killings. But then the Romans wrote handbooks on the big giant colosseums and taxes that were paid to fund the gladiatorial schools all over that area of the world, the known world at the time, to have daily games. They even extincted a lot of the lions that lived in that area and tigers and shipping in elephants for these complex games and flooding the Colosseum for ship battles. Sometimes in a day, hundreds and hundreds would die. Very similar to the Aztecs in their ritual sacrifice with groups they'd captured and dominated, but sometimes their own people as well. So civilization, those that are civilized recognize that this is bad and that you want to stay away from that because society degenerates. But once you let psychopaths get in control, they then want to train the general public to be psychopaths and to enjoy death. That's why Homeland Security admittedly had grants for Kiefer Sutherland's 24 and gave it awards on C-SPAN. Because by the end of the series, he would torture someone's small child in front of them to get answers. Because the end justified the means. So this is how they get weak-minded people who are twisted, but so weak-minded they think they're good. Kind of lower-level evil people. That's how the real hardcore psychopaths and the masochistic psychopaths create a different structure of servants under them, is that they bathe us in torture is good, secret arrest is good, violence is good, dehumanize your women, dehumanize your boys, put your seven-year-old daughter in a hooker outfit and let her go to school. All of this is scientifically done so that we will be weak and easily controlled. And when you get a sick priest class in charge throughout society, that's what the globalists call it, the ruling manipulative priest class, they always manifest the same thing. Public human sacrifice, war, death, disease, pain, degeneration, and final collapse. But the New World Order has said their party will go on forever because they're going to use technology to prop it up so that improvement in their world will be trampling on people, society running down, always dumber, less language, more brutish, more ugly. And they write love letters in their philosophies that we've quoted here about how wonderful it is. And Stalin wrote about it. Lenin wrote about it. Now, they've got top transhumanists now that we've read their quotes about how we're going to go on willing. We may just destroy the earth because it'd be the most powerful thing ever done and kill ourselves. That's like Nero, total demonic spoiled brat, you know, finally committing suicide after he'd burned Rome for fun. I mean, you must know your enemy to understand them. You must know your enemy to be able to confront them. You must know your enemy if you have any hope of ever defeating these people. And what a truly sick joke to have Barack Obama sold as a man of peace, and they're launching total war all over the world. The UN went into Ivory Coast, killed tens of thousands with the rebels, admittedly hacking up men, women, and children to take over the government. Didn't even call him a tyrant, just did it a few months ago. Gaddafi, not perfect, but building up Libya, building up the rest of Africa. There's no humanitarian thing going on. There's Western-backed Al-Qaeda rebels attacking. They call them peace activists. There's a six-month bombardment that is not a war, that would last days, not weeks. And then you've learned there's 40 to 50,000 innocents killed, and even mainstream media admits as a footnote, oh, yeah, the Al-Qaeda rebels out of Saudi Arabia and other places, they don't like black folks. There's been a big history of racism out of some of those countries on record. You know, they ran the slave trade even before folks in Europe picked it up. And they are going around hacking up blacks, including men, women, and children, systematically, because in the southern area, blacks are the majority and seen as pro-Qaddafi. And there's mass graves everywhere of hacked up kids. But see, none of that matters, because we're the good guys. And so if Al-Qaeda works for us, that is the people that run our country, but we see it as us. Notice we say, well, America's not, you know, perfect, but you know, we're the best there is. But is this America that's taken over our system? No, it's not. And so now Al-Qaeda is good, but you get the internal police documents. They're being trained. Returning veterans are enemies. Gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. They're training to take on people that don't like the Federal Reserve, while the government works with Al-Qaeda. Now, I'm going to play this clip, and it's introduced with Obama on Jay Leno saying that Libya is a recipe for success. And this is the globalist recipe. They go have a rebel group start attacking. Then the media demonizes the country that's being attacked by the Ponzi secret army rebel force. And then when that collapses, oh, there's a humanitarian disaster, Syria, wherever, we've got to go in. And then they just level the whole place and then call it a great success with smart bombs. And the entire Air Force is moving towards a conversion where they're even got the regular technicians now training to drive drones, and they're saying they're going to use them against Americans here. And they say, we'll kill 200 people to kill one bad guy, because they say it's a bad guy. But if a suicide bomber blew up something to kill, quote, one bad guy in their perspective and kill 200 people, it'd be called the ultimate crime ever. See, this is the mind control that's going on. So here is the clip, and then it segues into a child with their lower mandible and throat blown out, screaming in pain with their little hands up saying, why? You can see it in their eyes, and then collapsing back. Just in total panic with their little sister laying next to them with part of their leg blown off. This is what America does. This is what we've become. We just write off a million plus dead Iraqis. Here's that clip.
I think it's obviously sends a strong message around the world to dictators that people long to be free, and they need to respect the human rights and the universal aspirations of people. We introduced the resolution in the United Nations that allowed us to protect civilians in Libya when Gaddafi was threatening to slaughter them. It was our folks in NATO who were helping to coordinate NATO operation there. And the difference here is we were able to organize the international community. We were able to get the UN mandate for the operation. We were able to get Arab countries involved. And so there was never this sense that somehow we were unilaterally making a decision to take out somebody. Rather, it was the world community. And that's part of the reason why this whole thing only cost us $1 billion, right, as opposed to $1 trillion. Not a single U.S. troop was on the ground. Not a single U.S. Troop was killed or injured. And that, I think, is a recipe for success in the future. I am both surprised and deeply humbled by the decision of the Nobel Committee. The Nobel Peace Prize has not just been used to honor specific achievement, it's also been used as a means to give momentum to a set of causes. And that is why I will accept this award as a call to action. A call for all nations to confront the common challenges of the 21st century.
Now, I want you to look at that, and I want that to burn in real good. And I want you to make a spiritual decision. Just go, your gut, your instincts, of all the knowledge you know, added to your gut. Is that what you want to sign on to? Because when you are pro-war, that's what you're signing on to. Pro-offensive war. That's what offensive war is. They say that's a no-fly zone. That's not war. And Obama said, hey, I don't care what Congress says. I have the UN saying I can do this. I'm the Peace Prize winner. And remember, and I'm going to do a report on this tonight, I'm going to show you CBS NBC newscast from the late 60s in Vietnam with stuff just like that, little girls hit by napalm and stuff, that they put on the 6 o'clock news. But today they won't show you that. Remember when Bush, quote, banned people seeing flag Drake coffins? You're not supposed to see the byproduct of it. They're supposed to just, you know, go die, go be put in a hole, or go be legless for the rest of their life, and you're not supposed to see the dead troops. Think of the level of censorship and mind control that is. And no matter how many times they upload these videos at YouTube, they're taken down and the channels are suspended. So I've made the decision that I'm going to put a compilation together of mainstream broadcast TV from the 60s and 70s showing stuff just as violent as that, that was put on during the family hour, and then put that behind it and ask, what's changed? You can see any kind of violence, sex, 100 times what they allowed in the 60s, but you can't show something real. See, in the 60s, you couldn't show blood drip out of the mouth on Gunsmoke. But you could show a child hit by napalm with their skin burned off, because that was news and reality, and you had a right to know to make decisions. And even though our press was controlled to some extent, they were so freaked out by what they were seeing, the decision was made to put it on air, and it ended that war. But now in America, the whole world, by the way, gets to see this but us. So I tell you, you need to get your whole family and get this clip and put it on disc and send it out to everyone you know. They don't want this seen on YouTube. The federal government's ordered this taken down. That's on record now. They're constantly ordering battlefield footage taken down. Footage inside the hospitals. The fruits of this taken down. We should start a movement to put all this stuff on disc or at a download point for you to download it and put it on disc and start a campaign to mail it to the troops, to mail it to the churches, to mail it to the charities, to mail it to Congress. Congress should be knee-deep in those. 10 million disc of that should go and say, you watch this. You watch this. You look at it. This is what you like to strut around and think is tough and manly. Look at it. Look at it. Look at a little kid begging. Why? With the whole bottom of their face blown off. And all the other kids dead with their faces blown off. I mean, I see all this sick getting off on the news. Our smart bombs. Ooh, people didn't like the drones in the 80s, but boy, don't they work great. Oh, why not just release some bioweapon that kills everybody if it works great? And you guys talk about parking lot this, parking lot that, but you don't know anything about world history, have no idea about the basic facts. But you swell up and say, suicide bombers, those horrible people blowing themselves up. They strap bombs on kids. Because they're so desperate watching their kids be bombed from the air. They say, okay, we'll just send our kids in if that's what you want. Because they're already going to be dead anyways. And I'm not saying that's good either. That's a desperate sickness in the response to decades of this sickness as all of humanity sucks each other down. If this evil's going on now, what's coming next month? What's coming next year? What's coming in 10 years, the way the world's going? Who can deny the world's going in a way of pure wickedness? I've got more points I want to make on this, but I want to show you a clip from March of 2009, 2.5 years ago. The Obama deception released March 13th. I want to show you a clip of this now where we told you they were going to invade Libya and Africa with AFRICOM, and we told you they had a black face on it to do it. What did Louis Farrakhan call him? That dear, sweet, beautiful brother, Barack Hussein Obama. He is a beautiful man. Really? Well, but now I guess he's telling the truth. He's saying, that murder in the White House. Let's go ahead and go to this Obama deception clip where we told you so again. Here it is.
Number 5, they plan to further federalize health care so that the government can dictate what kind of care citizens receive. Modeled after the British system, this includes rationing care and restricting what procedures the handicapped and elderly are eligible for. Number 6, Obama is already pushing to expand the Department of Defense budget and to station more U.S. troops overseas to encircle Russia, China, Iran, as well as setting up bases in Africa under the pretext of humanitarian aid. And dominate and occupy Africa through AFRICOM.
So we're taking your phone call, seeing what you think of Barack H. Obama. Is he a Judas goat? Is he a front man? Is he a betrayer? Let's go to Anthony in Georgia. Anthony, what's your take on Barack Obama?
They put the face of Barack Obama as part of their public relations because it's like in the old folk tales about vampires. A vampire cannot force his way into somebody's house. It's against some kind of metaphysical law. So the vampire has to persuade the resident of the household to open the door and invite him in. So they're going to look at the peephole at Barack Obama, which looks like them and appears to be on their side. They're going to say, okay, here's my ally. Let me open the door and let me let this person in. And then Barack Obama is just, of course, a front man for the American Empire, where he's going to have the entire U.S. Navy, the entire U.S. Army, and the entire U.S. Marines under AFRICOM command. And, of course, he's going to turn it into a new Iraq, and he's going to turn it into a new Afghanistan. Everything, every operation that you see going on in Iraq and Afghanistan is going to propagate to the poor countries of Africa.
And well, sir, I agree with you. They're looking to the people. They see a handsome, smiling African face. You know, he's all, hey, I'm from Kenya. And then it's a total bait and switch. But it's the same thing here in the United States where they would get sellout Native American chiefs to sell out their people. This is the oldest trick in the book. And he can also pacify the most downtrodden minority groups in the United States. And he's saying, hey, get ready for sacrifice. Get ready to lose your standard of living. They're like, yay, I love Obama. They could never get away with this with a John McCain.
Obama basically does a couple of things. One is, again, this idea, kick the Chinese out of Africa. Kick them out of Sudan where they get oil. Kick them out of Zimbabwe where they get raw materials. Start a civil war in Congo, another big source of raw materials. Al-Qaeda, an arm of the U.S. intelligence community, is now active in Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco. You've got a destabilization going on in Kenya around Odinga. That's Obama's cousin. This is a guy who has two children. They're Obama's niece and, nephew in a broad sense. And one of them is named Raul, and the other one is named Winnie, after Winnie Mandela, who did the necklacing and political assassinations in South Africa. So this Odinga is essentially a CIA destabilizing operation in Kenya, and he's got a Odinga Islamic alliance to crush the Christians in Kenya. But this also reaches into Ethiopia, it reaches into Uganda, Congo, Tanzania, and a whole bunch of other countries in that region. So all of Africa is a battlefield in flames between the U.S. and the Chinese, with Obama leading the charge to kick the Chinese out for geopolitical reasons.
Number 7, radically expand federal control over family farms and ranches.
And there's another part of the film where we actually show the troops invading, and we show them first starting in Libya. That's where I believe, when I told the guy to make the map, the invasion would actually begin, because I looked at the airfields and water supplies, and you could actually, that's what I was able to find real quick during a break from Obama deception. There's another part where we show the map, and where I show them invading in Libya and then spreading down, just because I did a military analysis of it. All right, now, again, this is our military. No, we pay for it. The globalists then get the resources. And we need to face what these wars are really doing. We're going to open the phones up and get into a bunch of news straight ahead. 800-259-9231. Open phones on this Friday. Stay with us. 800-259-9231. What's your take on what I just covered? Okay, my friends, we are here live Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., then back weeknight, 7 p.m. I will be live this Sunday, 4 to 6. I've been out of town the last few weeks, but they've been amazing. Not even really best ofs, because a lot of what we air now when I'm out of town on Sundays, because I am working 7 days a week, I promise to cut back. I've only increased, but time's short. The enemy knows that. They're moving fast. A lot of times on the Sunday show, we air highlights of the week's TV show. And it really sounds great, because I'll be on the road or whatever listening to it on the free iPhone app. To hear all these great reports that Darren McBreen's done, and Rob Jacobson, and Aaron Dykes, and myself, and the rest of the crew, John Bowne, all of it is just, and Marcos and everybody, just an amazing job that our team's doing. And you know, the problem every night when I get in there, it's like, my gosh, you guys have got 2 hours of stuff. I mean, because they've got a hunger. They know what's going on. Let me tell you, tonight, I'm giving YouTube fair warning here right now, and then I'm going to get into the news and your calls. I'm giving YouTube fair warning. They advertise as this open commons, and your First Amendment's going to be honored, and you bring your media content here, and you get us views, and you get us advertising money. And we're going to honor your First Amendment as long as you follow these rules. As long as you follow this set of rules, you are going to be left alone. Now that's false advertising. That's false advertising. You're bringing them a value, a commodity. People are saying, well, this is a private corporation. They can do whatever they want. Not when you sign a contract with them. Not when you're giving them the content. We have this idea that we have no value and we're scum and this is just the way it is. And then YouTube admits, their parent company Google, that the federal government tells them to take down videos that are, quote, critical of the government. The federal government, the police, this is all in the news. And now they have censorship bill to shut down any website the government wants for any reason. No due process, just like no fly list, no due process, or no gun buy list they're now announcing, or warrantless checkpoints all over the country. Our country is full of good people still. Average folks, salt of the earth, but they're like children. They don't understand history. They don't have the facts. They're into all these petty, little, silly issues. People have their priorities screwed up. You know, every week or so, my wife and I sit down, we have a meeting about what we're doing in our lives or the children. And a lot of times it'll get all scatterbrained, and I just say, listen, let's just make a priority list here, because I'm scatterbrained, you know, have a lot going on in my mind. My wife is to a certain extent. All busy people are. I'm like, let's first decide our priorities. And that's what we all have to do as a society. And let me tell you what my number one priority is. My number one priority is protecting innocence. That's what any man's priority is. To be a man is to want to protect people and is to want to have a stable, honorable society. That's it. That's what it's about. Not how tough you are or how many things you own or how many trophy wives you've had. That is not what it's about. Being a man is about building a strong society and uplifting the weak. And does that mean I'm a great man? No. But I do know at least what it is to be a man. I know what my goal is. I want to be as good as my ancestors were. You know, I've talked about my dream is that humanity survives. And that 1,000 years from now, whatever our species has become, they look back and use what I've done and what others have done just as an example of the courage they'll need in their day. And it's not that I will be known in the future. That's not, it's to communicate with people in the future. That's an essential human trait. To commune through the species we live on. There's no debate about that. And I don't care about myself. I had a talk with my wife this morning. I said, I'm going to turn the heat up and really tell people what I think. And I'm going to stop subconsciously being afraid. And I'm going to be the leader I'm meant to be. And I've asked God to give me guidance. But I said, it may destroy our family. Are you ready for this? Are you commit the entire family to this, which it's already committed. But I wanted to recommit. And she looked at me and she said, yes, yes. And it is that willful decision, all in, all of it. It's all in. John Hancock, biggest signature at the top. Bam, John Hancock signing his death sentence if they didn't win. That's what it takes to win. That's what it takes to defeat tyrants. The globalists are all in. They're not going to give us quarter. It's not special. It's not great to be all in against them. It's real. The only choice you've got is to be all in. We're not talking about being domesticated by the globalist. We're not talking about being their slaves, which is a fate worse than death. They don't even want us as slaves. They want us out of the way. Life has always been cheap, ladies and gentlemen. But now it's seen as a negative thing, like garbage that needs to be taken away. Well, I'm not garbage, and those little children, millions of them the globalists have killed. You know, we see a child killed with their bottom of their face blown off, dying with the blood spilling out, with their tongue flapping around, and their little eyes just in absolute terror, and it tears our guts out. But imagine the children that die slowly from the degenerative bio and chemical weapons added to the food, the water, the vaccines. Or imagine the 15 million children conservatively a year that die of starvation. Another 30 million children from malnutrition. By the way, it was 15 million a decade ago. I've looked up the numbers. You know, on average, it's up to 20 million a year now from straight up starvation. You know why? Because of biofuels in the last 5-6 years. Biofuels. The corn is being turned into ethanol for environmental reasons. Everything that's done environmentally is not to help the planet that, by the way, is getting screwed up with genetic engineering, toxic waste dumping, other things. It's done to cut off resources. to cut off fuel, cut off carbon dioxide, cut off things like that. Well, I want it said here. I repent for all of my crimes against humanity, and they are small compared to these great evils, but it's a stairway that leads to the same place. Then I'm going to go to Nick, listening on 1600 AM WMQM. I'm going to go to Ronnie, and I'm going to go to Steve and Craig and CJ and others that are holding. But I am going to repent for my flesh, and I'm going to ask God to give me the strength, because Lord knows I'm fallen, to please give me the strength to do an even better job and to be more eloquent and to reach out to people. I am tired, and I have trouble putting all this information together, but just please help me. Please help me, and please help others, because we've got to save the little people. Christ said it was better to tie a millstone around your neck and throw it to the deepest ocean than to hurt one of these. And by my lack of action, I am a party to this. We are all a party to the killing of the innocent. We are all a party to the poisoning of our planet and ourselves. And we must repent before God. We must repent, even if you don't believe in God. For God's sakes, repent. Repent to the universe. Repent to your ancestors. Repent to something. Recognize the wrong. Recognize it. And ask a higher power to direct you. Because that's the only strength we've got left. Everything in this new world order is so you don't recognize pain. So you don't recognize evil and corruption. So that it can grow. There's a whole universe of lies and distractions and diversions to keep you from actually being awake and on this journey, this test that is life. And for every wicked action, there is a good reaction, the opposite reaction. We are going to see feats of evil and wickedness the world has never seen, but we're going to see feats of strength and honor and goodness and sacrifice that the world has never seen. Everyone can feel it. We are crossing the bridge into Hades right now. This world is going to enter a time the likes of which this planet has never seen. And this is only the beginning. I have chosen the side I am on. I have 100% committed my name, my soul, my children, my treasure, my blood to resistance to this planetary vampiric spirit. And I ask God, because only God has the power, to remove the enemy's tentacles completely from me so that I can truly stand with others against the enemy. I am weak, God, and I need the strength. I can't do it. And God will answer this prayer. And God will answer your prayer. But you must know there's a consequence. There is a price. And that price is a blessing. But it will not be light. It will sit heavy. But not as heavy. And it will sit in a different way than evil. You know, that's what it really comes down to. I come in here with all this temporal news. And I can't even look at it anymore. Because at the root of it, it's about our souls. At the root of it, it's about who we are. At the root of it, it's about this journey. At the root of it, it's about the trance the public's in. I mean, look at this good news. There's good, bad news, hundreds of articles. Ron Paul does not rule out third-party run. That is super good news. I knew that's the common sense move because he's at the end of his career. And I understand that they're building a third-party movement out there. But Ron Paul should run as a third party if he doesn't get the nomination, which he's close to getting, because then he'll still be able to inject real issues on a platform that he'll never. The sun may burn into a cinder before we ever come this way again. So he needs to ride that pony. Ride that horse. You got that? Boehner won't rule out balanced budget amendment that permits unlimited federal spending, a balanced budget that allows unlimited spending. That's kind of funny. Yes, we have a limit on things. It's unlimited. And we got some of that news. We got world news. We've got the banker takeover news. We've got more checkpoints around the country, warrantless. They're openly hyping up a new war in Syria. Globalists are going to go in and just level the place, killing untold innocents. But so what? Hell, we'll just watch Dancing with the Stars and football and feel good. And yeah, look, you see, wow, I love watching the news. You see all them mushroom clouds blowing up stuff, all those burning buildings. Yeah, we're showing that Assad. Yeah. Hey, did you hear they're using Al-Qaeda? Well, Al-Qaeda ain't that bad. Yeah, parking lot them all, you know, my opinion. I just follow orders, you know how it is. Man, you think you're safe? You think if the New World Order doesn't care about all these people they're killing, they don't just not care about them. They do care about them. They care about killing them slowly and painfully. And I thought about that. I thought about these children. You know, they're dying in, an hour or two, flopping around with their lower jaw and face blown off, with their tongue hanging out, just in total panic. A kid who hours before is on the ground playing with little toys, sweet and innocent and good. I also see that this culture in TV demonizing children, attacking children, saying children are bad and horrible. Children are bad and horrible once you send them to a government training camp and they're around other kids and learn all this TV brainwashing. I've been around third world kids that don't watch TV, and you know what? They don't act like American demons. They got to be raised up as demons so they can serve in Satan's force. Of course, Americans will serve the devil and bow down no matter what the system says, because this is a godly force. They'll pray to Jesus while they serve the devil. You know, the devil's chariot, his war wagon, is pulled by Christians. That's the biggest joke, isn't it? That's one of the devil's biggest tricks. The closer you get to the meaning, the sooner you know that you're dreaming. 99.9% of the public is in a dream-like trance. Even those of us that are awake are only conscious for glimmering moments as the universe opens up to us and our feeble human minds cannot even analyze what we're seeing. But the Illuminati, they have seen and chosen darkness. But they've only seen through dark glasses, through diseased glasses. They haven't truly seen. They've seen through a veil. They believe, like a man in the desert, that they found an oasis, but really, it's a sand-washed gully full of bones where they will collapse into the dust of the universe and be forgotten because they were not of the flowing waters of life. Let's go ahead and talk to Nick in Tennessee, listening on 1600 AM WMQM. Welcome, Nick. Thank you for holding.
Well, thank you very much, Alex. I want to thank you for everything you do, and God bless you, and I have lots of love and respect for you. I want to know your thoughts about the prison industry, because I feel like, I was dumbed down in my school, and I feel like when we get out into the, when they get out of the schools and they get out into the real world, we don't know half of the laws that are even written down, and then when we end up breaking a law, We find ourselves in their prisons and stuff, and I feel like
it's all selectively enforced to begin with. Most of the stuff isn't even constitutional, and it's all just a bunch of criminal juries.
Yeah, because I feel like like they're seriously dumbing down people to where they have a life of crime and they don't even know how they ended up in the prison, do you see?
No, that's what it is. They send you to prison for something that shouldn't even be illegal, but you get out in 5 years as a criminal, because if you don't join a gang and you don't learn the criminal trade, they're gonna kill you. And so you get out, and now that's your bit. You can't get a regular job, so you're part of that criminal organization. And then you learn to pay your police cut. It's all set up with precision. It's all run perfectly. You know who's running it? The guy with big horns. God of this world.
In jail, really, you say.
Did you want to add anything else, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll stay there. I'll come back to you briefly, and we'll get to Stephen in Mississippi and others. Craig in Canada's, CJ in Michigan, Ronnie, others. Stay with us. Okay, let's go back to Nick in Tennessee. Nick, welcome back. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, you know, when judges say ignorance of the law is not an excuse and not admissible in court, well, I think for a lot of people coming out of these dumb public schools, well, it really is ignorance of the law is an excuse for
Yeah,
a lot
but that
of
comes from out. English common law when there are only about 20 laws.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, so, I mean, now there's literally millions of them, and most of them aren't even laws. It's just made-up code, and the police and everybody just do whatever they want. So, look, 98% of people are federally convicted. That right there, totally fake. And I've told cops that, and they go, I'm glad we're getting the bad guys. Oh, you think 98% of people are guilty? This is what they're doing. I mean, this is a joke, sir. What was your other point?
So why is this so? What do you think about nonviolent criminals having to go to prisons? I don't believe in nonviolent people having to go.
Well, sir,
to
what
prison.
They do is they put nonviolent marijuana users and people in prisons, openly owned and run by megabanks. The prisons are subsidiaries that actually bring the drugs in. That's on record. This is slavery. Before, they would just go conk somebody on the head in Europe, Africa, wherever. Pre-transatlantic slave trade, you know, whites were slaves in most areas of Europe as well. And they would conk you on the head and drag you off. Now they just make a drug illegal, ship it in, and then when you use it, they put you in their slave plantation working for 25 cents an hour. Slavery never ended. I mean, that's all they do. That's how they took down China, studied the opium wars, China. This is all mainline history. This is taught in high school. You know, it's just a page or so, but they admit that the West imported opium into the country, and China made it illegal and had the opposite effect. It allowed the British and others to totally corrupt the society, and they said, let's do this in America. And they said, all right. It's illegal, so they keep the price up. That's number one. Then number two, why not put not just our competition in jail, but people that use it? And they had a big high five and said, let cops, by the way, just take cash. No drugs needed. Okay. All right. Tell the cops now to run warrantless checkpoints. They're crooks like us. They'll do it. Okay. Now they do it. That's how your society becomes Nazi Germany. I appreciate your call. By the way, I have been so focused on the news and where our society's going right now and the craziness that I haven't been plugging sponsors. I haven't been plugging the money bomb. NPR has donations that go on for like month-long drives twice a year. Once a year for about a week, we promote the money bomb. It's coming up next Thursday. I'll broadcast 24 hours. And it'll allow us to hire a few more news crew people, some expensive equipment we need, and a few of the things like that. We're trying to raise $500,000. Sounds like a lot. Anybody running a news operation knows that's nothing. But it's something for us, and it'll all go 100% of the money bomb directly to fighting the tyranny. And so it is imperative that folks go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and spread the word about it. And we start donating if you'd like to, so we can reach our goal. We always start early, so we can try to reach it. We're going to have a lot of surprises coming up on Thursday. I'll just leave it at that. You can also become a PrisonPlanet.tv member if you want to support what we're doing, and download all the great news shows and films and get them out to people. Or you can buy online videos and books and T-shirts and things. All the orders get citizen rule books and Infowars.com and in the Fed bumper stickers in them. We got Infowars.com ballpoint pens. We've got new, the best gravity fed filters. Can't even talk. Gravity fed filters I have found anywhere. We're now selling the ProPure at Infowars.com. Discounted, and your purchase supports this broadcast and makes it all possible. So stay with us. More calls straight ahead. We'll get into the economy and a lot more. Bob Chapman's coming up a little bit later in the next hour. And by the way, we're Drudge Report linked right now. The TSA has fired the agent that made sexual comments.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, Bob Chapman's coming up, and boy, is this the time to have him on. What? Max Keiser has broken it down with us yesterday. It's now confirmed. It's going to be $1 trillion leverage to $5 trillion in derivatives to pay off the $100 billion Greasos. See, that just proves it's a total backdrop. The numbers I'd seen is that 90-plus percent, 91 in the case of Greece, 92 in the case of Iceland, percent of it was derivatives owed by the banks themselves who have the finance ministers in place that work for them to then tell everybody, you're in debt, got to raise your taxes to pay this off. Oh, really? $5 trillion for $100 billion? Interesting math. And then the countries transfer their power, and they're admitting a new EU police force will go into countries and enforce the VAT taxes at all businesses. I mean, whoa! Occupation troops, imperial EU troops to get the money. That's all in the news today. I can't even believe it's moving this fast. And I promise we're going to go to Dr. Jones and CJ and Stephen and Ronnie and everybody, Joe in New York, listening on 1310 AM WRSB, one of our oldest affiliates up there. Great folks. But let's go to a call right now, and then Bob's coming up in the next segment. I'll go to your calls early, I promise, which means I'll try really hard. I will get to your calls. Stop failing to take action. Let's go ahead right now and talk to Stephen in Mississippi. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. How's it going?
Good, buddy.
I just wanted to, I had a question for you, but before that, you mentioned repentance just a minute ago, and I just want to let you know I appreciate you talking about that because, I mean, you know, this whole big system can be so, you know, make us feel so small, but we got to realize that, you know, if you serve the Creator God, He's above everything.
If you're really serving the Creator God, though, and I don't want to get into denominations and fighting, that personal relationship, if you're serving God, you'd be fighting evil. You wouldn't be deceived thinking you serve God and then working for the New World Order. So that you judge a tree by its fruits. And again, I hear money's the root of all evil. No, money is the chicken feed that domesticates the slaves. That's another lie of the devil. You know, I mean, I know the Bible talks about money being at the root of getting people into evil is the way it basically transfers. But what the evil's really looking for is it wants our psyche, our mind. That's the globalist issue, the money out of nothing. They're not trying to get money. They control the money. They're looking for our intellects. They're looking for who we are. They want to program us. Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And Alex, I'll tell you, we can be as prepared physically as we can be and still not be prepared spiritually. And so, you know, I would just urge all of your listeners and everyone out there to really look at the Bible and look at what God is trying to tell us. But I did have a question about you. I saw, not about you, but toward you. I saw a movie recently called The Secret of Oz. And I think it was done by the same guy that did The Money Masters.
Yeah.
And they're basically talking in there that they try to make the point that even if we did have a gold-backed currency, it could still be controlled by the super wealthy.
We sell The Secret of Oz and The Money Masters, and The Secret of Oz is, it didn't mean 100% agree with it. It's a different perspective on saying, hey, now the globalists have all the gold, we can't go to that system. It just creates monetary education about, well, do you want a fiat that's government-controlled, people-controlled, or a quasi-fiat, or a completely gold or silver-backed? And so I have that as part of knowledge. You know, it's like I read Hitler's Mein Kampf, and I'm not comparing his thing, saying it's Hitlerian. I agree with a lot of it. But I disagree with Hitler. I read Mein Kampf, and one time I was buying it as a teenager. I was like 17 at the store, and the lady said, freaked out, and said, "Why are you buying this?" And I said, "I'm reading a book, lady. Doesn't mean I agree with it." You know, she thought, "Wow, you're buying, you know, My Struggle." It's the same thing. I mean, whereas I 100% disagree with My Struggle, maybe I 10% disagree with Secret of Oz. I'm still selling it and promoting it because it gets people to think about monetary systems at a deeper level, not just get rid of the Federal Reserve. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And one other thing to kind of bounce at you there. I've heard you mention this phrase a lot recently, like, now is the time. And, you know, hopefully this is coming across, you know.
Well, hold on. Stay there. Stay.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, I've already covered quite a bit of the news, but there's still about 80% of it here. And I want to break down with a real financial expert, Bob Chapman, what's happening in Europe, why the dollar's plunging. We told you as soon as they got this deal through, things would start their descent again. Because it's a mathematical fact, the derivatives are impossible to pay back. And the general public does not owe this money. And that's admitted in the news. They want $1 trillion leveraged to $5 trillion, and we're told it's to pay off $100 billion for Greece. We're going to talk to Bob Chapman about that in a moment in layman's terms. But I saw the news, the headline, oh, it's $500 billion. Oh, it's €1 trillion. And then you read in there, and it's got the name of the derivative, the really nasty type. It's a credit default swap. It's got a particular name. Bob can break that down. On insurance, on the pension funds of the Germans. And then they spin it like the Germans are bad and are taking over Europe. When Germany, under this, gives up its sovereignty to the super EU, you got the Vatican running around. Calling for, quote, global governance, their specific economic council, and a bank of the world, which will punish the bankers by giving them total power. Just incredible. We'll get Bob Chapman's take on that here in just a moment. But finishing up, who was I talking to? They had one more question. Yeah, that was Stephen in Mississippi. You had one more question, sir. Go ahead and ask it.
Yeah, I was wondering, you've been using the phrase, like, I think over the past year, now is the time, and I want to bring this up sort of in a humble way. I'm not trying to accuse you or anything, but, you know, from my study of history, I've seen that phrase pop up in different revolutions throughout time, especially the French and Bolshevik revolutions, and I know you would agree that those were controlled socialist-based revolutions, and I was just kind of wondering, is that exactly the wise, you know... the wisest phrase to be using right now, because really what we need is a restoration. We don't need a revolution.
You know, Stephen, I don't think you've been listening. You asked the question in a nice, friendly way, and that's fine. I appreciate your call. But, keep him on hold for a minute so we can respond briefly, but I got to get to Bob. I have said probably, let's be conservative, 1,000 times on air in the last decade, we want a restoration, not a revolution. But when you say restoration to about 90% of the public, they don't know what you're talking about, probably 95. That's like, I always get these emails saying, don't call micro FM pirate. That's what the FCC calls it. Well, 99% of the public does not know what micro FM is. That's the inner term used by people that put up their own transmitters in an open frequency and broadcast themselves or this show or whatever the case is. I was a pioneer 16 years ago calling for people to put up micro FM. I used to have guests on about 12 years ago, you know, promoting really cheap little kits that had actually been used to overthrow the Soviet Union. In fact, I learned some of the ones we were getting out of Romania were from the mid-1980s that had been secretly shipped in by the CIA. And here they were being sold third hand back into the United States. And I knew folks that were buying them to get them out to people. Perfect. Again, all over Europe, they've got pirate FM, pirate AM, pirate UHF, VHF TV. I've tried to promote that. But people say, don't call it pirate. People don't know what micro VHF UHF means. I might as well be speaking Imperial Gaelic to someone. Imperial Gallic only exists in fiction, folks. So when I get up here and I say now is the time, I'm saying now is the period of liquefaction, where societies are normally frozen, the globalists are unfreezing it in a time to set up open world government. In that window, they're weak. In that window, they've opened up. We're able to get inside and expose them because the public is in a panic. The globalists induce the panic. We come in and say, don't run into their arms and world government more tyranny. Let's restore the Bill of Rights and Constitution, which is newer and is a revolution of ideas compared to the ancient system of tyranny that's simply being brought back. So I think people overanalyze things sometimes here. Judge a tree by its fruits. I mean, sometimes I'll have a certain color shirt on and they go, look, it's programming color. You know, again, you'll know when something is if you have any discernment. And again, it isn't about Alex Jones. It seems like always right before we go to Bob, I get caught one of these callers that's, you know, bringing up, hey, now is the time. Well, no, people have always said, wake up. Now is the time. No, now is the time to dump this stock. Now is the time to get your Christmas shopping done. I mean, of course, you're going to have evil people are going to. Here's something else I've really, really learned, but really grown to know. The globalists don't have all these symbols, pyramids, sun symbols, all this iconography, because they invented it. These are things in our psyche, in our subconscious, in our archetypes that have been proven through all cultures to be powerful. So they simply take symbols that God has already written on our heart and they simply use them and twist them. I mean, there are people in Africa, it turns out thousands of years ago, using the sign of the cross in spiritual possession rituals. Does that make the cross as a Christian symbol bad because it's the symbol of Christ dying for us? See, we're giving the field to evil. We're letting them take everything, counterfeit it, and then flip it around and tell us we're evil because we have manifest something good. And they're saying, hey, look, there's an evil copy of that. See, we're not the copy. They're the copy. They're the counterfeit. I got to go to Bob Chapman here, but does that answer your question, sir?
Absolutely. That's a great answer. I appreciate that. And one last little thing. Mark 16:16, Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who doesn't is going to be condemned. Just one last little thing there. But I appreciate it, Alex.
All right. Well, that means reborn. Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and go to Bob Chapman. Bob, we are seeing incredible global developments. Max Kaiser came on yesterday, showed us we're in Bloomberg and other publications. It listed the type of derivative. I know you've had time to dig into it now. Former top silver and gold broker, biggest newsletter ever, went into retirement, came back at theinternationalforecaster.com, helped publish the Gary Allen Report for many years, really an icon of liberty. Bob Chapman, for those that don't know who he is, theinternationalforecaster.com. Bob, what exactly is happening in Europe? And the word is from the other patriot wise men, This is guaranteed means collapse now, and that they fully decided to ram the iceberg, and the printing presses are going into high gear, and it's now a race to devaluation. Is Max Kaiser, is Zero Hedge, are all these other people correct, and what does this deal do?
Well, yes, they are. And first of all, it was an unnatural association to begin with. Second of all, it was based upon the stronger members supporting the weaker members, and they knew going in that they were weak and they shouldn't have been admitted in the first place. The rules were upside down. They found out they didn't work. And here they were giving loans out in the form of bonds. And what happened next was that all of a sudden everybody realized that countries like Greek, Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Italy, and Belgium were in serious trouble. They've come up with this temporary solution, I'll call it. And what it is that the banks are going to supposedly default on 50% of the paper from the bonds from Greece. And they may or may not do that, but we'll assume that they will. What should they have done? They should have totally defaulted. But if they did that, Greece, then what would have happened is all the banks would have gone under. And I think probably the best figure that they could have hoped for was 75%, but the bankers control the politicians in Europe just like they do in the United States. So with that said, you know why it was 50%. You said Max spoke about the $517 billion that's being allocated by the European Union members.
And then leverage. And, he's saying, and I've seen it in the news, that it's really over $1 trillion leverage, they admit, into derivatives of $5 trillion. So why do they need $5 trillion for $100 billion?
Well, they don't. And it's a method of overfinancing. And it's very, very dangerous what they're doing. And the figure really is $517 billion made into $1.4 trillion. And they'll need to do that three more times to cover the debt of the entire group. That's where people lose it. The entire number is somewhere between $4 and $6 trillion. We'll call it $6 trillion for the debt that can't be paid by the six members of which I just mentioned, the Greeks being the leader of the pack, so to speak. And that's what they're going to end up doing in cycles. So they're telling the world that it's $1.4 trillion and they can handle the derivatives, which turns the European Financial Stability Fund into nothing less than an insurance agency backed by other insurance companies. And they're going to cover the action for about 30%, and the rest, the other two-thirds, will be carried by the members.
Yeah, I saw a line in the German news that this is backed mainly by German pension fund insurance.
Well, I'll give you one worse. I talked to somebody in Frankfurt yesterday, and I have to re-verify this because this is just one source. But I understand in the fine print that the Germans are supposed to commit their gold holdings, which is about 3,400 tons, as a backup collateralization, so that if they are not able to perform, what's going to happen is their gold will be taken away from them. When the German people find out what's being done to them, they're not going to be very happy. I get conflicting reports out of Germany. Some of the people I talk to say that the public won't do anything or say anything, but I think this time it's different. I know the German character. I'm not German, but I do speak it, and I lived there for, well, the equivalent of 6 years. And so I got a pretty good feel for people.
All right, well, Bob, give us your feel on what you think they're going to do when we come back and how you see all this unraveling and how it's going to affect us here in the U.S. By the way, there has been a gunman reportedly firing at the U.S. Embassy in Bosnia. I just watched video of him walking around in plain view with an AK-47 doing nothing, reportedly after he'd been firing at the embassy, just waiting to commit suicide by cop. And the SWAT team gets there and shoots him once with a sniper rifle. In fact, we'll show you that footage if you're watching PrisonPlanet.tv. If not, go to Infowars.com. Here's the moment they shoot him. He's just waiting to be killed. They're telling him to lay the gun down for a while, and it goes on for about 5 minutes, and they shoot him. So another crazy person. A lot of folks in the media advertises, want to commit suicide? Go out and kill some people while you do it. By the way, if you go into public school, we'll lock it down so nobody can get out, and the SWAT team will sit outside for 3 hours or longer so you can kill hundreds. How's that sound? The answer is arm the school. But, oh, you won't do that, no. It's unbelievable. Going back to Bob Chapman. Bob, you got cut off by the break. We're already seeing our stocks go down. We're seeing our dollar plunge. I thought this was going to fix everything if we just gave trillions more. And I guess you're saying the same thing Max is saying. And I've seen this. It's buried in the news. It's like, well, it'll be 500 billion and then 1.4 billion euros or one trillion pounds. And then they're going to use derivatives to expand that into a fund. Sounds like you're saying $4.5 trillion versus $5 trillion. But then meanwhile, we hear Bank of America needs backstopped $79 trillion on derivatives and is being moved into the FDIC fund in preparation. And everybody I know is getting their money out of Bank of America. You've been saying for about 2 years, the word is embassies are ready for bank runs. Where is this going? I mean, am I right to say things are now really accelerating?
Yes, they are. And, you know, they don't leave a crisis unused, so to speak. And that's what they're doing over in Europe right now. And you spoke of tax agents moving into all different countries to make sure that this new tax is paid. Part of what they're trying to do here as well is tighten up a tighter union, so to speak. And in that process, they want to eventually lead to, as quickly as possible, the takeover of fiscal affairs of each country. This is something they did not do at the beginning, which they now know they should have done. But at this stage, and even then, I don't think that the participants, which are the countries, would have put up with it. And that is the takeover of the internal finances by somebody in Luxembourg or Brussels or some such place that would leave the people at the mercy of some bureaucrat somewhere, and they would have no more control over their country. Once you have given up financial control of your country by letting somebody else take over your fiscal policy and supply you with a currency, which they have, the euro. We have the same thing. Let's take Panama. They're using the dollar, the U.S. dollar. So that means that they really have no say, ultimately, in fiscal and monetary matters. It really is at the mercy of what the dollar does.
But, Bob, let me briefly interject here, because you always basically just state it straight out. You don't embellish. But in this case, it's even worse than you're saying. And I've read the articles here. I've heard Bloomberg Radio, CNBC. It's constant. It's wrong they have freedom in Europe. This new super financial order will enforce in the countries. And I saw Merkel saying it yesterday. I read headlines yesterday. In fact, I have in my stack today where it says they'll be enforcing with EU tax collectors down to the business. So EU inspectors, not just taking control of the country's finances at the ministerial level. They already did that by putting their Goldman Sachs people and others in. They're actually saying now that the countries can never leave once this deal's done. I mean, this is a banker occupation.
What's good about it, Alex, is it's not going to work. This is a complete fiasco. It's another effort to gain time until I can think of something new to put them in a position that they won't lose control. Everything is control and power. The money is just an afterthought. These people can do anything they want at any time at this point in time. And that's why the voters in Europe and the United States and other countries, they have to change the people who are in the Bundestag, the Bundesrat, the House of Representatives, the Senate. We got to get these people out of there because they're bought and paid for.
All right, Bob, stay there. We've got a short segment, long segment coming up. We'll go to phone calls. But first, I want to get your forecast in Europe, Asia, Africa, Latin America, but of course here in the U.S., what's happening with Bank of America, what you see happening in the short and then mid and then long term. Straight ahead with Bob Schaff. It's on, ladies and gentlemen, world government.
It's 2 a.m.
In our face. I'm going to go right back to Bob Chapman and then your phone calls. I want to get his take on the Vatican calling for this global government bank of the world. If you're a new viewer or a listener, let's pull up like a Reuters article in case they don't believe it. This, in fact, print me the article again. This top council. The top big Vatican Council has called for this. They're getting everything lined up, my friends, and holding Europe hostage, saying, do this or it's all over. Before we go back to Bob Chapman, I want to tell you about eFoods Direct Fall Special Pack. They have a 24-day supply of food in a convenient portable container, a $259 value, yours only for $199. Save 60% on a 24-day food supply. Save $60 on a 24-day food supply. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. They also have a deal on there where you can get free samples of if you pay the shipping. I think they got, what, like a six-day food supply, and you just pay the shipping and it comes to you. We've been trying out some of the new samples. We're about to buy some more food. They've been around the longest. They're the best price. This is where I get it. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials, or 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633, eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, or follow the banners on InfoWars.com. Also, I want to tell you about PureWaterFreedom.com. If you want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit PureWaterFreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can even remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole house fluoride system. They have a wide variety of filters to remove all types of toxins from your water, including shower and bath filters. The reverse osmosis system will filter radioactive isotopes as well, which they add to the fluoride in a lot of water. Don't believe me, just type it in. It's mainstream news. All their filters are made in the USA. Sorry to the globalists, but they are. Check out their banners at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com, or go to PureWaterFreedom.com and take control of your water supply today. And finally, legislation like Codex Alimentarius threatens our ability to purchase vitamins and supplements in the future. Survival RX is a wonderful organization in the sports nutrition business for more than a decade. And now they've come out with the world's first long-term storable vitamin and nutritional supplement. They created a proprietary triple nitrogen flush manufacturing process that will allow you to store the high-quality vitamins for decades. They have free shipping throughout the end of the month. So I guess that's not much time left for that special. Go to survivalrx.com today for the free shipping and more. Again, survival, the words survival, and then letters rx.com, survivalrx.com. Okay, and I should also put a plug in for Bob Chapman's newsletter and Midas Resources. If you want to get a free copy, either hard copy or email, of his newsletter that comes out a couple times a week and is invaluable, really cutting-edge stuff that really hits the mark time and time again. You can call 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237, and Midas Resources will send you out a free copy. Or you can get a gold Frank coin, already a smoking good deal, and get a free year subscription, $159 value to the International Forecaster, either digitally or hard copy mailed to you, 800-686-2237. And lastly, don't forget to support our local AM and FM affiliates by supporting their local sponsors as well. That is just as important as supporting the national sponsors that you hear me talk about here on air, is to support those local sponsors, to let them know you're supporting them because they're carrying this broadcast, and to also spread the word about those local AM and FM stations. They're so precious. We're getting a lot of new affiliates in the last year, thank God. Going back to Bob, I want to get to calls here, Bob, but where is this going? I mean, we know, set up the global derivatives, implode the world economy, always call for more power, more control, and now they've said Bank of the World, CFR, Trilateral Commission, all these groups have called for it, run by the very same private banks that engineered this, where we pay our VAT, our sales taxes, our carbon taxes. They've got Herman Cain out promoting the VAT and sales tax. Same thing they always do, as if it's conservative. Mitt Romney's now the leader. Gun control, abortion, wrote the government health care plan, loved by Al Gore for carbon tax. And Republicans are saying that's who they want. They want basically Al Gore. So where is America going? Because, you know, there is an awakening. I agree this Europe thing isn't going to work. It's not meant to work. It'll steal more money, fall apart again, and then they'll say, we'll just create a total world bank. I mean, I've been saying this for 16 years, not because I'm smart, but because it's in the Trilateral Commission documents. Bob, you were writing about this in the 70s. We're now here. So what's going to happen in your view? What's coming up in the economy? What should we watch for? What's the next big mega bank to go under? What's going to happen with the derivatives in Bank of America?
Well, I don't think you're going to see banks go under at the top level. They're going to be nationalized, and they'll be split like Dexia was 3 weeks ago in Europe, which is a medium to small-sized bank. And they take all the bad assets and put them under the control of the government involved in the United States in this case, and the rest of it will stay in Bank of America. And all those bad assets after they're liquidated, whatever losses there are, they belong to the American people. So again, we will bail out the banks. And I would guess that sooner or later, after they've rounded up all the 705 small and medium-sized banks, and they've merged them together, and this will take a while. Once they've done that, they'll all be absorbed into the money center or legacy banks in New York. Then eventually they'll be merged into one bank, and we'll have a nationalized bank. And I wrote 8 years ago, they're going to do the same thing with housing. They're going to nationalize it, which I won't get into here.
And by the way, they're now announcing that, and then you won't have a choice. It's going to be basically nationalized, and they're announcing toilet flush taxes, all these hundreds, literally hundreds across the nation of new taxes. And everybody will get paid off. You'll still get your welfare check. It's just it won't buy anything anymore. And then that way no one person can get blamed. How long will it take then to hyperinflate the currency down to nothing? How long does this race to the bottom, how long is that going to take now? I mean, let's say if the late 60s were the start of where we're going. I mean, you go back to 1913, but really the acceleration, let's say 1965, or am I wrong, right up to now, let's say on a scale of 100 to 0, the 0 being Banana Republic, Argentina, or even lower, 100 being at the top, 0 being where we're going, where are we there?
Well, at the present scale, QE2 and Stimulus 2 should take us next year probably to about 25% inflation, and we're going to have QE3, and that's coming. And they got it in the works, and they haven't told you about it yet. And the Fed will spend maybe $500 billion or a trillion buying the bad assets of the banks. Most of them are what are termed the CDOs and MBSs, which are bonds that contain mortgages. And, of course, we don't know what they're paying for them. We don't know what they're worth. And eventually, those holdings by the Federal Reserve will be paid for by the American public. But what they're going to do with QE3 is once they sent the money over to these banks that have this garbage in return, that money is going to be used to buy midterm notes, an average of 7.5-year notes. And that will help drive down interest rates on those notes like the U.S. 10-year which is currently selling around 235 on the yield side. It'll bring it back down so that the 30-year fixed rate mortgage will be 3.5%. I think that's what they're shooting for. But they're also going to say to the banks, look, you go into the market and gamble so that you can drive it up and use leverage to do so. And that is the stock market. What the stock market has just discounted is what you saw go on in Europe, and I'll get back to that in a minute, and what the insiders on Wall Street know what's going on behind the scenes, because that injection of capital from the Fed into the banks will give the banks lots of money to go out and gamble with. And they know that they in Wall Street know that that'll make the market go higher. And so that's why you've had the rally on the Dow for 10,500 up to 12,000 approximately. Now, in Europe, what's going to happen is that they're going to find that, oh, this is unworkable. And all of a sudden, the people in Greece say, I don't care how much money you want to give the government. We're not going to play your stupid game. And they're going to continue to demonstrate, which means the revenues can't come in. They can't pay off the interest on the bonds or the loans. And it's going to deteriorate even further. Until finally, 3 to 6 months from now, there's a good chance that Greece will go under anyway. Now, the question is contagion. Will the others go under? Ireland's asking right now for a change in loans they would like to get from the European Central Bank at very low interest rates so they can handle them. Now, Portugal wanted to do the same thing. Now that there's been a 50% haircut on this debt, and all this money is being given to Greece. If I was in Ireland or Portugal, I would say, hey, wait a minute. I mean, are some animals more equal than others? Or are some countries more equal than others? We want the same deal. And if they're not offered the same deal, they're going to default anyway. So the problems are manifold and manifest. They are not going away.
Let's back up here, and then we've got to go to calls, Bob, because people have been holding. I want to get to Dr. Jones and others there. Why do we see the dollar dropping while the stock market goes up? And I have the reporter from Reuters that it's record dumping of U.S. bonds right now.
Well, they're under the impression that what's going on in Europe is going to work. And they are sadly mistaken. It is not going to work. And so the dollar probably will bounce around 74 or 75 on the USDX and then move right back up again as the euro comes under pressure again, because people are starting to say, well, maybe this isn't going to work. And so it's kind of a back and forth. But you don't look at currencies. You look at gold and silver. That's where the action is. Because you don't want to be in any currencies except what you have to use every day.
Well, I agree with you. And briefly, what do we see happening with gold right now?
It's going higher. It's taking a little respite today, which is fine. Some of the indicators, like the shares, are telling us we're looking for higher prices next week. And it'll fight its way back up to 1923.70. And it'll break it before the end of the year. Probably go to 2,000, 2,200. And then by the end of February, we may see a run of 2,500 and 3,000. It's all there. I mean, who would want to be in currencies with all of the terrible things that are going on?
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the calls here. Appreciate folks holding. Dr. Jones in Canada, welcome and thanks for holding.
All right. Thanks so much, Alex Jones. No relation, of course, for the new listeners. I've been turned on to you since about 2004. I'm a professor. I have a degree in political science as well as a law degree. I'm teaching criminology now in Canada. I just want to let you know and let your listeners know a few things I've been doing and working on. I talk to my kids a lot about propaganda, you know, Edward Bernays, show them that they're being lied to and constantly distracted when it comes to crime. You know, I have a textbook that says, let's look at white-collar crime and let's look at fraud and this, that, and the other. Nothing about the banking scandal. Nothing about the World Trade Organization. Nothing about Codex Alimentarius. Nothing about vaccines killing people. Nothing about institutional problems. The textbook we're using has one mention of Osama bin Laden, nothing on George Bush. Nothing on the CIA creating al-Qaeda, promoting terrorism around the world. Again, you mentioned just a minute ago in Bosnia. I used to live in Bosnia, taught law in Bosnia, about that man out there in front of the U.S. Embassy. You know, Bosnia, again, another place, Yugoslavia destroyed by the United States and the banks and Germany, also Italy, wanted to break them up. You know, that's not mentioned in textbooks. And I know you're a good critic, I would say a legitimate critic of professors and school systems and all this. And I guess I would say I'm out there in the wilderness. I'm one. Of course, I have been.
Well, no, that's my point, is that you go to school, and I would imagine you're probably the minority there. And there's always a few professors that are intelligent and have understanding you can learn something from. But most of them, it's just regurgitating. And again, that's how some knowledge is almost more dangerous than none, because then you just have street smarts. Instead, they make these maps of the mind, which that's a great news piece we should actually do to show that, because I know I've seen the textbooks. That's true. Nothing about how at the higher level, how it works and how the fraud takes place. But Bob Chapman can tell you with all of his finance degrees, and I've talked to a lot of high-level economists, famous ones, they'll tell you how stuff really works at the higher level. All they teach is retail stuff. There's no discussion how economies really work. I mean, even bank heads of major, you know, cities who have 20, 30 branches under them don't know this stuff, because it's not taught. And that's why this is so scary. Most people are specialized. Even if they're extremely intelligent, have 170 IQ, their whole area is focused on one thing. Like, I'm a biology, you know, person that studies tapeworms or whatever. I've been studying them for 40 years and written 9 books on them. And they can tell you everything about the metabolic system and the sexual habits and the variants of the 3,000 species of the, you know, everything. But they don't have general knowledge. Incredible point. Stay there, but I want to get Bob's take on this. We'll go back to you. Bob, he makes a great point. I mean, really, that's why people are so dumbed down who even have degrees, because they're not looking at the real structure at a certain level. It's like having a 100-story building, and you only look at the first 30 stories, Bob.
And that's true. And that's always been the way. I never had a higher degree, but I can tell you this, that the gentleman is certainly correct about what they leave out. And I was perennially having arguments in college with professors, and sometimes the same ones over again. It's a wonder they didn't throw me out, about things that weren't taught, or them taking totally different tacks from one year to the next. And it was like a circus. But what I had to do was, I lived in New York for a couple of years, and I went to the New York Public Library, which was an absolute phenomenal library. And I read everything on business and finance and securities and mutual funds, and all the way back to the turn of the previous century. And so I taught myself about that, because I didn't learn that in university. And I thought I went to a very good school. But they're all the same. They only can teach what's in the textbook that they've chosen.
All right, Dr. Jones, we'll get a comment from you on the other side, since you've been holding so long. Then we'll get to Randy, then James, Otter, Patrick. Of course, I'll do the customary 5 minutes overdrive and get those last few. And then I'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock, InfoWars Nightly News. 7 o'clock, Prison Plan. Boy, you can't make this stuff up. They're announcing all over the country, not just Tennessee. Homeland Security, TSA run checkpoints to, quote, keep kids safe. Because when kids were never safe before, we had federal goons running warrantless checkpoints. I thought warrantless checkpoints are what's dangerous. I mean, if your country's got them, it's kind of like having a brain tumor or something. It's not good in any book in history, but... Well, you know, they say it's good, so it is. DHS announces Halloween checkpoints in Tennessee to keep children safe. SDS founder coaches Ann Arbor, Occupy Wall Street. Obama to the world, do as we say, not as we do. Clueless, want Hillary to run. It goes over all that. Get your freak on, girl. TSA screener fired. That's just some of the news that we've got up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I will be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. live, either on your local station or on InfoWars.com. Do 5 extra minutes to get to a few more of these calls. But finishing up with Dr. Jones. Doc, did you have a counter comment to what Bob Chapman was saying before we let you go?
If I can just finish up and say, Alex, you, Gary Null, Joyce Riley, you saved my child. Okay, my child is not vaccinated. My older son was vaccinated. He is not damaged. Thank God I spaced it out. But I did not vaccinate my baby. She's 5 years old. She had the measles. She's had chickenpox. She is not damaged from vaccines. Last thing is, again, I saw kids in Bosnia, major amounts of autism. They had public service announcements about autism. I asked my students, ask your grandparents. Whoever had autism, whoever was brain damaged, they had none 2-3 generations ago. And lastly, of course, people need to know they have to advocate for drug legalization. We have to take, again, another way to take the corruption out of the system. Again, Bosnia, perfect example with the Kosovo army, heroin shipped in by the United States to promote wars. I was in Mexico, a nightmare of corruption from drugs. In Canada, they're kind of debating over whether to legalize marijuana. We have to push drug legalization as another.
No, it's going to bring our society down. Hey, great to hear from you. You ought to do YouTube videos or do a blog radio show, because you really are a well-spoken fella. Good to hear from you. You're absolutely right. Let's jam another call here for Bob Chapman, see if you got any questions or comments for him. Let's talk to Randy in South Carolina. He'll be our tail gunner on the main broadcast. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. Thank you for having me on. And I just wanted to say I'm really proud of both of you. You're tremendous, tremendous patriots.
Well, thank you, brother. We try. But do you have any questions or comments?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I'll get to it. You said that those that forget history are condemned to repeat it. And you know, I have a couple of historical events that I wanted to run over, and perhaps that will...
Sure, hit them.
Okay, the first one is Larry Summers at the Second Bretton Woods. He was quoted, or I took a section out of the video, where he was saying that the situation with Greece and Italy and Spain and Ireland is similar to a hostage. And he said, what would a nation do if their child was taken hostage? And that is exactly the same thing as Danegeld, where, you know, the Vikings raided England and the other islands and held them for hostage. And the more they paid, the more they did it. And,
that's the way it works. And the globalists, every time they implode somebody and get more money, they always demand more. Bob Chapman, comment on that.
It's absolutely right. You can't bargain with them. You cannot engage with them. You know, it's either kill or be killed. And that's just the way it is.
Well,
and that's what's happening in these countries in Europe. And I don't see that they have a way out of that. And they found out everything they've done hasn't worked because it was all unnatural. And I think they're really starting to understand.
No, they are. Stay there, Bob. We'll see you Sunday for everybody else, 4 to 6. All right, it's the customary little dollop of sherbet ice cream at the end of the three-hour radio show, the little 5 minutes of overdrive. Used to, I do 2-3 hours of it, but we got the nightly news show to get together. And it's going to be particularly powerful this evening. Please get the special reports we put out tonight. Get them out to everybody. That last caller brought up some really good points about being held hostage. Wish we could talk to you longer. Any quick final comment, Randy, to what Bob was saying to you?
Oh, yeah. Specifically, I have a question for Bob. What can be done? Because I know right now, Stuart Rhodes was talking about Caesar crossing the Rubicon and that piece of history. My concern is that we may be getting to a Pyrrhic victory where, you know, we may have the tools within the Constitution and to nullify and to use constitutional money, but we may be too far gone at this point. And I want to put a spotlight on corporations. Now, I know specifically Justin Napolitano doesn't want to reach that topic. He doesn't want to re-adjudicate that. But, you know, with the case of the railroads and then the Revlon...
the point is these operate as governments now or as crime syndicates. You got to ask the question fast.
You know, is there any way that we can separate corporations and the government and bind government under the chains of...
Yeah, Bob, what are some ways to, like, end this fraud of the ultra-rich taking over government... And these corporations, you know, that head up the New World Order. How do you deal with that?
Well, you want to work through the system, and that means that in the next election, you put people in office who won't be paid off, who will do the right thing, make it constitutional, and do all the things that we'd like them to do. And if you're not successful doing that, you'll probably have a revolution.
But we exhaust every avenue first. You know, I appreciate your call. I think one thing he was alluding to here, Bob, and I want to get your take on this briefly, is we probably will take back the society, but after it's been sucked dry, wrecked, and giant hordes of people have been brought in who are used to welfare and demanding it, and with a dumbed-down culture, we might get things back, but still we'll just be in an absolutely torpedoed state. But I guess that's better than the vampire sitting on top of us.
Well, it is, and I think, you know, you have to look at it this way. I hate to put it this way, but you make everything that the rich and powerful do and have, you make them taxable, and there's no place for them to go. And so you just turn the tables on them and take their power and the other things away from them. And some of them you're going
to... Sure, I mean, have you been shown to be CFR globalist, engaged in treason? You have all your assets taken and you're thrown in the prisons. We let the nonviolent out and we pack it full of globalists and all of their collaborators and those that committed really hardcore crimes. Well, you know what the juries are going to find, and we hang them high.
Well, I think you're going to have to start teaching criminology.
Well, Bob, you know what? These people have to be dealt with. I mean, they certainly can't be allowed to run free.
you heard, have no bigger booster than I. But I discussed this with Gary Kleck, and he's the head of the department at Florida State, supposed to be one of the top criminologists in the world. And the conclusion is the same as yours and mine. In fact, he's a liberal, and he's a big advocate of people having weapons.
Well, I've noticed a lot of liberals are now waking up and buying guns.
Well, I think that's wonderful, but liberals, please get trained properly. When you're in a combat situation, your first three or four rounds will go wild. Your adrenaline will be pumping like mad, and you've got to get a grip on yourself. So you got to practice, and you got to be trained.
Well, that's certainly true. And you know, by liberals, I think they're becoming real liberals, more like Thomas Jefferson, not this fake thing they say is a liberal. By the way, the numbers show that. They just record gun ownership in the U.S. in the last 100 years. Record. And that's just the people that admit they have guns. I mean, every liberal I know is not a liberal anymore. Every mainline Republican I know is starting to wake up, and it's just, but I mean, every liberal I know is out buying as much hardware as they can get.
And I think that's good from a defensive point of view. And I encourage it, and I know you do too.
Well, absolutely. Now they don't have to sit there and cower in their house if somebody breaks in. Now they can actually be human beings. Bob Chapman, Lord willing, we'll see you next Friday. Everybody else, see you tonight, 7 o'clock. Sorry, the other callers. And see you this Sunday, 4 to 6.